children can be dismissed at this point, at this time for children's church. Back at the back door right there, they'll lead you out.
Hello. So today we are going to continue with the series on the Sermon on the Mount. And the title of the series is Be Different from Matthew 5 to 7. So we have seen the different life or the blessed life from verse 1 to 12. And then we've seen that by living out that blessed life, we are salt and light in the world. So it is a way we can witness to our world. And then we then saw that Jesus said the blessed life is according to the law. He didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. But we also saw that it's above the righteousness of the Pharisees. And so we saw it's according to the law from Matthew 5. We saw examples, anger, sexual immorality, retaliation. And then in Matthew 6, we then saw that it's above the Pharisees' claim. And we saw that it's not prideful, it's not showy. Like when you give money to others, the way you pray, the way you fast, are you doing it for others to see you or to notice you? Or are you doing that with the right heart? Then we saw it focuses on God and not on money alone, or not on money. And we saw also that it focuses on God in spite of the worries and troubles that life has to bring. And today we are going to see from Matthew chapter 7 that the blessed life does not put itself above the law in merciless and hypocritical judgment, but the blessed life judges rightly. So before we begin, we want to just go over the story of John Calvin. So for those of us who know the Reformation well, we know about Martin Luther. He was the leader of the Reformation in Germany, but his counterpart in Switzerland was John Calvin. So there was a group of Christians by the time John Calvin came to Geneva, because he was from France. So by the time he came to Geneva at the age of 27, there was a group of Christians called the Libertines. And Libertines, if you just remove the last four letters you have and you replace it with a Y, you have liberty. So there are people who emphasized the Christian liberty, but they emphasized that in the wrong way. For example, we know of the communion of the saints. So for the Libertines, for example, communion of the saints means you share all goods together, common goods. And so they will share their lands, their properties, but they will also include in that things like their wives. So at the time in Geneva, the law was you were allowed to have one mistress at most. But for the Libertines, since they believe in the common goods, which means they will take each other's wives, and so they will promote adultery, immorality, and all kinds of sexual immorality there. And at the same time, they were taking part in the Lord's Supper. So they were Christians. And there came an incident with a guy called Batelier. So the church decided to excommunicate him, so to stop giving him the Lord's Supper. He was part of this group. And so he decided to sue the church to court that the church has no right to excommunicate him. And so the court said, okay, the church has no right to do that. But John Calvin was not very happy with the government's decisions. The government has no right to tell the church who to excommunicate and who not to. And so he wrote to his friend Viret, and he said this to his friend: I took an oath. I had resolved the matter to meet death than to profane shamefully the Lord's Supper. My ministry is abandoned if I suffer the authority of the government and give the Lord's Supper to these scoffers, like these people who are making a mockery of Christ. So he decided, I'm not going to listen to what the government is saying. This guy is living a sinful life, and we're going to excommunicate him anyways. So on a particular Sunday, like the Sunday following, it was after the preaching. So the preaching had just been finished, and it was time for the Lord's Supper. So these Libertines were in the church. So as soon as the preaching was finished, John Calvin came down to distribute the Lord's Supper, and these people stood up and rushed towards the Lord's Supper. They were running to take it. And so John Calvin, as you can see on the picture, he's holding the cup and the bread, and he said this to them. He said to them, these hands you may crush, these arms you may cut off, my life you may take, my blood is yours, you may shed it, but you shall never force me to give holy things to the profane and dishonor the table of my God. So he said, you can do whatever you want to me, but I will not give it to you, because you guys are living a sinful life. And after that, there was complete silence, and people were shocked, as if God had just appeared. And then they proceeded with the Lord's Supper. So the question that we're going to try and answer today with the sermon is, was John Calvin wrong to do that? Was he wrong to stop these people from taking the Lord's Supper? And that leads us to the topic of today, judge not, from Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. So let's look at the passage again, Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. Judge not that you may not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it shall be used to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take out the speck of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So in this passage, we have two commands. The first command is do not judge, and the second is don't give what is holy and precious to dogs and pigs. And in the middle, we have a story or an illustration by Jesus to clarify what he means. So judge not is a very popular phrase in our culture. We hear it all the times. Everybody uses that. And the word judge can be translated in other places. It is translated in the other places in the Bible to mean to condemn, to decide, to put someone on trial, to esteem, or to determine. And nowadays, everybody uses that, Christians and non-Christians. Maybe you have heard already, like with the LGBTQ plus things going around, when you watch the TV, some of the questions they like to ask people, or to ask Christians in particular, applying for certain positions are, what do you think about homosexuality? And as soon as you speak against, they will say, doesn't your Bible tell you not to judge? So that's the way that that word is being used today. It's being used by people to tell Christians not to meddle in their affairs, to let them be what they want to be, and to do whatever they want to be without any judgment or condemnation coming from them. And it's very, very, very popular in our culture. And like we saw in the story of John Calvin, like, was he wrong? And a famous Russian writer, like his name is Leo Tolstoy, he said that the verse Matthew 7 verse 1 also means that we should have no police and no law courts. And so by what we want to do today is to try and see, okay, is he right? Does Jesus, by saying judge not, mean that we should have no police? Does it mean we should have no justice? And are those people who say it is wrong to call out on sin, are they correct by saying, oh, don't judge me, like, let me live the way I want to live, let me watch what I want to watch, let me do what I want to do. You have no right to judge. Is it wrong, like John Calvin did, to excommunicate people from the church? So that's the first command, judge not. But then we first want to see what it does not mean, and then we will see what Jesus really meant. So what does it not mean? So we'll do that by looking at other places in the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about judge not? For example, in the Old Testament, we have the book of Judges. And that book actually is a book where God established people to judge the nation. And we have God asking through Moses in Deuteronomy that Israel should establish judges who will judge justly. And also God asked There are laws in the Old Testament about adultery, about homosexuality, about stealing, about killing. So those laws, they are judgmental laws. What do we do with that? Is Jesus throwing all this Old Testament away by saying, judge not? And what about the New Testament? What does Peter, what does Paul have to say about judging? We know from 1 Peter 4, verse 17, he says in his letter to the exiles, it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God. That's Peter. He's saying it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12 to 13, he says, what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom we are to judge? So according to Paul, we are to judge those who are inside the church. And Paul says about the government in chapter 13, verse 1 to 3 of Romans, that let every person be subject to governing authority, for there's no authority except from God, and those that have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Why? Because the government has the authority to judge. So that Russian writer, according to Paul, is not correct. The government has the authority to judge. But then the question is, yes, the Old Testament says that. Yes, the New Testament says that. But Jesus himself seems to be against. So do we have another place where Jesus himself directly speaks about that? Do we have another place where Jesus himself directly speaks about that? And yes, we do. In John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, do not judge. It's the same sentence, right? Do not judge. But then he qualifies his statement by appearances. And he says, but judge with right judgment. You will never hear people quote this verse. They like the Matthew 7 because they use that as a justification for whatever they are doing, but they do not like this one. But this one is still from the same Jesus. So the question then is, okay, Jesus is saying somewhere judge with right judgment, somewhere he's saying do not judge. Like, how do we reconcile that? Is he contradicting himself? So we come back to our passage and try to look at the reason Jesus gives and the clarification he gives. So he says, do not judge. Why is he saying that? He gives the reason, so that you will not be judged. Do not judge. Why? So that you will not be judged. Okay, it's still confusing. If I don't judge, I will not be judged. So he gives further explanation. He says, for with the judgment you use, it will be used on you. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So in the next passage, there will be a similar statement. But what Jesus is saying here is, the extent of judgment, or the way you judge, the same measure you use will be used back on you. The same way you judge others, that's how others will judge you. And as we will see later, it's also connected with our relationship with God. But what is Jesus saying here? Firstly, what Jesus is saying here is, don't be merciless in your judgment. Don't be merciless in your judgment. Maybe you are right. Maybe what the person did was wrong. Maybe what the person is doing is not correct. But the way you are judging him, are you being merciful? Does the degree of punishment you're extending to him for that crime correspond to the crime, or are you going overboard? Are you being merciful in your judgment? Are you not being too harsh by the correction you're trying to apply? Because the same measure or the same way you judge, that's how you'll be judged back. And we can say this is connected to the Lord's Prayer, right? So don't be merciless in your judgment. We can see in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 6, forgive us our debts, for as we have forgiven our debtors. The word us. So the same way, so Jesus is asking us to pray to God, saying, the same way we forgave those people, forgive us. So the same measure we use to forgive others, apply that measure to us. You cannot pray this prayer if you are being very harsh and merciless. Like we have an example in Matthew 18. He was forgiven by the king for a large amount of money he owed, but he didn't forgive his neighbor, and that ended it. It ended him up in jail. So Jesus is saying, when you judge, maybe even if you are right, even if you are correct, the measure you use, always remember the measure you use will be used back to you. So be merciful. And Paul says, for example, in Galatians, if any brother is caught is in sin, you are spiritual, should restore him. But how? There's a qualification: with gentleness. Remember, it could have been you. Is this brother today? But who knows tomorrow? Who knows after tomorrow? Yes, judge. Yes, condemn sin. But the way you do it matters. And we also have Paul in 2 Corinthians. So in the Corinthian church, there was a guy who was sleeping with his mom. So in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul said, put that guy out of the church. Excommunicate him. And in the second letter, it seems that person has repented. So Paul is saying, okay, this guy, he has caused a lot of pain. He has caused it to you and to me. But I think his punishment is enough. Take him back. Forgive him, comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So it seems he repented, and Paul is asking to take him back. So here we have an example. Yes, we are to judge, but when the person repents, like the goal of judgment is to be merciful, right? So the first thing Jesus is saying about why he's saying that we should not judge is that we want us to consider the measure we use and to remember that same measure will be used on us. So we are to be merciful in our judgment. Second thing that Jesus is saying, the second thing that Jesus means is that we should not be hypocritical in our judgment. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck from your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck of your brother's eye. So the word hypocrite there is, like, you can say it's the word actor. So actors, they, in real life, they are something else, right? But in the movie, maybe they are FBI agents, secret agents, so they have a double life. Jesus is saying these people here have a double life. So they have logs. Like the word for log there is like a huge pile of wood. For example, on this picture, you can see this guy here, he has this massive piece of wood in his eye, but then his brother down there has like a speck. The word for speck is like when you're cutting wood, I don't know in Hong Kong, do you cut wood with the axe? But when you're, sorry, yeah, but when you cut wood, like you have those pieces of wood that fall over. That's like a speck. So this guy has the whole log in his eye, but he's trying to force this guy to show his eye so he can take out the speck. Of course, this guy down here will not trust him, right? Like, you cannot even see, what are you going to do? So he's trying to push back. So in the same way, Jesus is saying, we shouldn't judge like this. We shouldn't be hypocrites in our judgment. Like when you're judging others, or when somebody is going through church discipline, or like, you're speaking against the sin. Are you doing the same sin in your own life, in secret, but people just don't know about it? And we have an example of that in the book of Romans. We have an example of that in Romans chapter 2. So Paul is speaking about the Jews, and he says this, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having the law, having in the law an embodiment of truth. You then would teach others. Do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You will say one must not commit adultery. What do you watch? You abhor idols. Do you rob temples? You boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And that leads us back to our title. Our title is Be Different. And we saw, like, when you live a different life, you're a witness to the world. But when you're a hypocrite, you will cause the same world you want to reach to curse the name of God. Oh, those Christians, yeah, they're always like that. They say this in the morning, but in the night they're with us. What is the difference that you're trying to make in the world? And another example is our friend Judas. He is an example, really, a really bad example, but he's a good illustration of the point. And we used him last time, but I think he really qualifies to be used again this time. So if you remember in the story of Lazarus, so 6 days after the Passover was over, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave dinner for Jesus there, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table. And the sister of Martha, Mary, she took a jar of expensive oil, and she came with it, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus and was using her hair to wipe it. And the smell of the oil was filling the house. But look at what Judas says. Judas says, why is this girl wasting the oil? Like, this oil, the cost of it is 100 denarii. 1 denarii was like the salary of 1 day for a worker. So she's wasting an oil that is the salary of 300 days. That's like a whole year of salary. She's wasting that. But then John says, he said that not because he actually cared, but because he was a thief. That's a hypocrite. This is exactly what Jesus is saying we shouldn't be like. You're talking about others' crimes in public. You're judging them. But what about your own life? If your life was to be exposed, will the non-Christians you're trying to rebuke for sin, will the non-Christians you're trying to reach out still be convinced? Will they still hold you highly? Will they still think you're really genuine? So Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite in your judgment. So we have seen what Jesus didn't say. Jesus is not saying we shouldn't judge. John Calvin was not wrong. It is right to rebuke a brother who is living in sin. It is right to speak out against immorality in the church or outside. It is right when you're preaching the gospel, it is repent and believe. Repent is already a judgmental statement. But what Jesus is saying is, do it mercifully and don't be a hypocrite when you do that. Yeah, so, and next, what we are going to say next is, we come to the second commandment. So we saw there were two commandments, and in the middle there was an explanation of the first one. So we've seen the first commandment, do not judge. We've seen that Jesus doesn't really mean that you should never speak out against sin. He doesn't mean that you shouldn't call people to repentance. He doesn't mean that the government should not have the authority to judge. But what Jesus is saying is, when you are passing a statement to condemn a crime or a sin, or when you are passing a judgment, remember the same measure you use will be used back to you. And secondly, don't be a hypocrite. Make sure you're seeing clearly before trying to help others. And then Jesus then comes to verse 7 and he says a very troubling statement. He says, do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and they turn to attack you. So there you have two things that are really vile or really profane, really not good, and you have two things that are very precious. So the dogs in the Hebrew society were really dirty animals. You remember in the Old Testament, for example, Jezebel, when she died, she was eaten by dogs. So dogs in those days were, it's not like today you pet dogs, you keep dogs, no. In those days they were really nasty creatures. They could eat anything. And then you had the pigs. Pigs in the Hebrew society, they would not even raise pigs. Because according to the Old Testament in Leviticus 11, they were unclean. So pigs were filthy creatures, really bad. But at the same time, you have two precious things there. What is holy? Holy is set apart. It's usually associated with God. With the, for example, in the Old Testament, the temple was holy. And in the temple, you had the holy place and you had the most holy place. And pearls are precious. For example, Jesus, in one of his illustrations, spoke about a man who sold all he had to buy one pearl. So pearls were highly valued. So Jesus is saying, don't give what is holy and what is precious to pigs and dogs. This is a very judgmental statement. He's calling people dogs and pigs. So what does Jesus mean? At least in this context, we know that Jesus just spoke about rebuke, about judgment. So the minimum that that verse can mean is, don't rebuke pigs and dogs. Why? Because they will turn back to you and attack you. They will reject your counsel and attack you. And we have a proof of that in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 to 8. The writer of the Proverbs says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. And Proverbs says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. So at least in the minimum, what Jesus is saying there is, your rebukes or your counsel or your advice or your judgmental statements, don't say it to people you know for sure they will just attack you. Don't do that. It's not worth it. It's not worth the pain. Another thing we know it might mean, most Bible commentators say that that verse also refers to the gospel. And we also have examples of that in the New Testament. For example, there's another one verse apart from this passage, one other verse in the Bible, or one passage in the Bible that used the three of those four words, like dogs, pigs and holy, is the book of 2 Peter. So in 2 Peter, Peter is speaking about false teachers. So he says, false teachers also arose among the people, just as there will be for sure false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves sweet condemnation and destruction. For it would have been better for these false teachers not to have known the way of righteousness, rather than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment. So you have the word holy. What is true of the Proverbs has happened to them. So what is true of the Proverbs? A dog returns to its vomit. And the sow, which is the pig, after you wash a pig, what will he do? You go back and play with the mud. So Jesus, if you take this holy dog, pig, Jesus in a similar way, there are some people, like, don't waste time sharing the gospel with them. They are pigs. They are dogs. Like, when you are doing that, you are just looking for trouble. They will mock at your gospel, and they will turn back to attack you. How do we see that clearly? Maybe it's better to see another example. Two last examples. For example, when Jesus was sending out the 12, in chapter 10 of Matthew, same book, just a few chapters later. He says to them, when you enter a house, greet them. If the house is worthy, let your peace come on it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave the town. You can take a horse to the water, but you cannot force water down its throat. If you try to share the gospel with someone and he becomes aggressive and is mocking at you and making fun of the gospel is precious. Protect it. Just leave. And we have another example, one last one, in Paul. So he was speaking to the Jews on one Sabbath, and the Jews kind of were okay with that. But the next Sabbath, what happened? The next Sabbath, almost the whole city came to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict Paul and were reviling him. So they were being using filthy language, like insulting him, making fun of him. So Paul and Barnabas said this: it was necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first. But since you throw it away and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. We don't have more time to waste here. The gospel has to go forward. Of course, we know that some of the Jews came to Christ, but they had to go to Paul to look for that. He decided to turn aside. But we should remember the first part. Jesus said, the measure you use will be used to you. And he also said, don't be a hypocrite. So we should be very slow to call people pigs and dogs. There are such people in the world. They are pigs and they are dogs. If not, Jesus would not have said that. But we should be very slow. We should be merciful. We should be patient with people. Not every pig that you think is a pig is actually a pig. Right? So be slow and be gentle and be merciful before you call somebody a pig. It takes a long time before you arrive to that. So be merciful. But when you find someone like that, just leave. It's not worth the trouble. So in conclusion, Jesus says we should be merciful in our judgment. Remember how much mercy you have been shown. And he says, don't be hypocritical in your judgment. You will just be a bad witness to your world. And people will hate you for that. And they will hate God for that. And one last thing, the gospel is very precious. Be slow to call people pigs or dogs. But when you find one, don't waste time. Just move on. The gospel has to go to others. Yeah, so that's the end of the sermon. And as we saw, John Calvin was not wrong. So may God help us. Thank you.